Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Keith Murphy.
This is your time.
And he fails.
Hey, where's the bar? Let's have some drinks here. See what's going on.
It's the Murphy and Andy Show.
It's a three and
powered by AD.
We wear caps and sleeves at this level, son.
On 1460.
KXNO.
And now 106.3 FM.
Hour two, I'm Keith Murphy. Andrew Downs powering us up and bringing us the 2 p.m. trend.
Time to find out what's trending Iowa.
Trending Iowa, it is hot. There are cooling centers open throughout the metro, including all Des Moines Public Library locations. DART is also providing free rides to public cooling centers. Murph, what, at the end of the last hour, feels like up over 100 degrees now here in Des Moines.
It's now 107. Oof. So be careful out there. State baseball and RAGBRAI, just anywhere. And whatever you do, don't leave a person or a pet or anything in a car right now. My goodness, it's dangerous.
Trending Iowa State baseball continues today in Carroll and begins today in Iowa City. 1A and 2A semifinals are today in Carroll with championship games tomorrow afternoon. 3A quarterfinals are today in Iowa City. 4A quarters tomorrow, semis on Friday, and then title games on Saturday.
Yeah, the feels like temperature got to 114 in Carroll yesterday, so they did adjust the schedule today. They moved the games to morning and night so that in the worst part of the day, they're trying to avoid having teams out on the field, but it's still rough.
Finally, trending Iowa, it was reported by the AP last week, but it became official today. The field at Kinnick Stadium is set to be named the Duke Slater Field at Kinnick Stadium. The University of Iowa requested permission and got approval from the Board of Regents today. Slater is a college and pro football Hall of Famer, has a storied law career after his playing days were over, serving as a judge in Chicago until his death in 1966.
Yeah, Scott Sipker can speak to this Friday, and we should have him do that because he's been working on the Kinnick documentary for 30 or 40 years, it seems like, but it's probably only six or seven. But one of the significant developments of that was it was really heavily considered naming it Kinnick Slater Field.
Yes.
Kinnick Slater Stadium, and it ends up becoming Kinnick Stadium, but now Slater's honored as well.
That's it for Trending Iowa.
All right, I know what that means. We are joined now in studio by Ray Cole, who has many significant titles, Citadel COO, IBA Hall of Famer, former NAB, ABC, NTVB board member. Goodness, you won the Ray Pillar of Character. You're an honoree for that. So please show character the whole time you're here. And you're Hanging with Winners book is coming out soon, correct?
Yeah, I'm happy. Looks like October 1st, a book that Rob Gray and I started on at the beginning of the pandemic last March that we thought would be a simple project, grew into something that involved more than 60, 65 interviews. We're proud of the result. It's in the publisher's hands now, and we'll look to have it out October 1st, we hope.
Rob Gray's a good writer, so he is a wonderful good choice writer. On Thank your you. Partner there. Ray, you are uniquely positioned here to kind of bring some insight into what some of the obstacles and maybe some of the favorables for Iowa State as the Big 12 conference kind of gets it back into a flux here. So specifically, just for the background credibility, in your time on the ABC board and your dealings, you were ESPN liaison at one point,
yeah,
too, right?
I went on the board in 2004, and when we sold our last ABC stations in 2019, I was in a chairman emeritus role. So it was a 15-year run. Had the privilege of being the longest-serving chairman of that board. And during my time as chairman, the ESPN morphed the ABC Sports brand into the ABC brand, and what we now have on ABC is the ESPN on ABC when you see that branded.
Right.
And so we had to navigate that. And then along the way, I had the pleasure of being on working committees with both ABC and ESPN, involved in a lot of rights discussions. Obviously, the big conferences are important, ABC and ESPN. College
Sure.
football is probably the most important thing it has. I actually had George Bodenheimer at the time that he was chairman of ESPN in Des Moines when he crafted a seven-year agreement with then-Commissioner David Stern with the NBA. So I had a 50-yard line seat to that. And then was involved on the working group that tried to acquire the first rights package for the Thursday night NFL games that eventually went to Fox. And then the Olympics are going on. I had a great time, had several meetings on the West Coast where Disney decided as a company they really wanted to make a hard run at the Olympics. We worked with Disney and ABC and ESPN to craft one heck of an aggressive package, only to be outbid by NBC, which is why the games that are going on in Tokyo right now are on NBC and its flurry assorted channels and not on ABC and ESPN channels.
Yeah, it's been there's so many platforms now. I think it's 7,000 hours that NBC is putting across the platforms. Okay, so you're uniquely qualified and insightful here to help me with some of these questions. I'm going to try to move through a bunch of them because I know people would like some insight in some of these. So just at the start here, Ray, why is it so valuable to the universities of Texas and Oklahoma to go to the SEC? Why do they view it as being worth burning friends and partners the way that they certainly have?
Well, maybe before I answer the why, I'd like to address the how. Okay. How they've gotten where they are today. And to me, that's the most troubling aspect. Whatever their motivations are, right, wrong, or somewhere in between. I pulled up, I had an inkling back in May, Keith, that something was brewing. And I went back and I found an article that I think prompted my inquisitiveness that something may be going on. So this is from an article dated May 25th. So think about this. This is 2 months ago.
Okay.
And you would think it was written in the last week. It says, quote, "The college football world has been quiet for the better part of nearly a decade since massive conference realignment took place. There are already rumblings that things may begin to pick up in the next couple of years." It should have read, I'm going to say parenthetically, next couple of weeks.
Right.
"As the TV contracts near their conclusion across the college football landscape. But for the Big 12 conference, they reportedly made an effort to lock up a new TV deal, but were turned down."
That's a red flag.
That was a red flag for me. Okay. Yeah. "The Big 12 deal with ESPN and Fox that runs through 2025 is not going to be extended anytime soon. There are 4 years left on their 13-year agreement. But what struck me oddest is that the Big 12 was looking at this, trying to extend the current rights deal, and they were led by three of the Big 12 conference presidents. And one of those was Jay Hartzell, president of the University of Texas. And when I saw that concerned me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it was a red flag, but at least a yellow flag.
Yeah.
Because to me, if you're never going to have a committee like that with such far-reaching implications of what their work could mean to the conference and not have Texas involved.
Mm-hmm.
They have always sort of been, I don't think it's too harsh to say, they've always been a bully.
Mm-hmm.
And they've always sort of driven their point of view. But when I saw that this working group was moving forward with media rights, to have Texas on the forefront of that concerned me a little bit. And what you've seen accelerate her over the last 2 weeks and what we now know that has been occurring over the last 2 months is that Texas and Oklahoma were really hard at work trying to craft an exit from the Big 12 and an entree into the SEC conference. And so, it is troubling because they are the two biggest brands. They're the two biggest revenue generators for the Big 12. But the way they've gone about it, I find troubling because it's one thing to negotiate an exit from a rights deal. And my guess is they'll craft a settlement that gets them out of the Big 12 before 2025.
Yeah, all the wording has been with legal negotiations in mind from all sides.
Yeah,
everybody
all
keeps saying 2025. No one is expecting these schools
to. Nobody wants to open themselves up to anything other than a defensible position in a court of law,
right,
which is probably where it'll end up.
Been all carefully worded.
But here's who I feel bad for. And this is the how, and I'll get to your question on the why. The how is, how could they do this with such a callous disregard, if you're the University of Texas, for TCU and for Baylor and for Texas Tech. And if you're Oklahoma, it applies in spades even more so to Oklahoma State. And you also have to look, when you're looking at the state of Texas, probably even a more callous disregard for Texas A&M, who's the lone Texas school in the SEC. And I think that this has been brought on over a couple of years by a lot of things. But at the end of the day, they always say that everything is bigger in Texas. Boy, does that apply to the egos in the athletic department at the University of Texas. You know, when you move a Shaka Smart out after, by all objective evaluation, a good season, I think that's wrong in the world of college athletics. Mm-hmm. And I may be Pollyannish about that. But, you know, I go back. I was a big Mack Brown fan. And look at what Texas has done since they've blown out Mack Brown.
Wishing they still had Mack Brown, mainly.
Yeah, I think they're on their third coach.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Keith. I don't think Texas has won a Big 12 football championship since 2009.
No, that's because Oklahoma has won seven in a row or something.
I think the what really got in their craw was they were losing recruits in the state of Texas, big 4 or 5 star recruits, blue chippers. They were losing them to Texas A&M because those young men wanted to play in the SEC and not in the Big 12. And that drove it. And at the end of the day, I think that this move by Oklahoma and Texas will work out well for Oklahoma. I think if you want to make it an analogy, look at the Big Ten Conference and where it's worked and hasn't worked. Mm-hmm. You know, just take Rutgers and Maryland out of it for a minute. Focus on Penn State. They've assimilated and had success and are doing well. And I think Oklahoma will be the Penn State of the SEC. I think Texas will be the Nebraska of the SEC. I don't see it working for them long term. They're not going to be any more competitive than they've been in the Big 12. Financially, which we can get into the whys now. The why has, at the end of the day, when they say it's not about the money, it's always about the money.
All the answers are money.
And when you look at all the things that have been, all the dynamics in play around this, besides the ego plays, especially at the University of Texas, you know, you have things like name, image, likeness coming to the fore, and athletic departments looking at things a little bit differently now in that world. You have the serious discussions about a 12-team college football playoff. That, I believe, played into this. You look at things like the transfer portal. There's just so many things out there that are changing the collegiate landscape when it comes to athletics.
So you want as much stability as possible, and there's nothing more stable than the SEC.
Nothing more. It's the number one, arguably the Big 12 is maybe the number three Power 5 conference today. With the exit of Texas and Oklahoma, I'm sad to say, as it stands today, it would probably be the number five Power 5 conference. But we'll see what Bob Bowlesby can do. I think he's an outstanding administrator. He's lucky to have athletic directors like Jamie Pollard, who are very capable. And I think they'll have to craft a solution. But I'm going to go back, and I never really answered your why. So if you look at the dollars that the SEC distributed to their member schools last year versus what the Big 12 did, that's a difference of about $12,000 to $14,000 per school. And then the SEC did something else that I find remarkable. You know, they cut an incredible deal with ESPN, the SEC did, that was only going to significantly raise the payout to the schools. You know, it's a multi-billion dollar deal.
It like quadruples the payout when the rights fees are up.
What they did, I don't know if they took out a loan against those future revenue payments from ESPN, but they gave each SEC school during the pandemic an additional payout, a special payout of $12-14 million to help them. And they essentially were drawing down on that big ESPN payday that will occur in the years to come. And so there's big dollars there. But for Texas, they have the Texas Longhorn Network.
Mm-hmm.
That pays them about $15 million. And I've had people say to me, why would ESPN be involved in encouraging this? this move. They have the Texas Longhorn Network. They have their vested interest in the Big 12 Network that they've been paying a lot of dollars to for rights as well, just not as much as the SEC. And I think the answer is, if you look at the SEC network, television network, and you look at the Longhorn Network, ESPN owns the SEC network. They own it outright. When you look at the Big Ten Network, a lot of people don't realize that was a joint venture of Fox and the Big Ten Conference. Fox controls 51% of that joint venture. ESPN controls 100%. So anything that happens to the SEC network, to the SEC conference, certainly works, inures to the benefit of the SEC network. Now go to the Longhorn Network, where everybody assumes that ESPN is involved. ESPN operates the Longhorn Network. Okay, that's actually a joint venture of the Big 12 Conference and who's the group that owns the rights to, like Iowa State, regionally here.
Learfield?
IMG Learfield.
IMG Learfield.
Thank you. That's who I was trying to think of. That's a joint venture between the University of Texas and IMG Learfield, but it's operated by ESPN.
Okay.
So
ESPN is a huge player in all this.
I don't think there is any doubt that that the deal that they announced when they took the SEC rights away from CBS, okay, I think that's probably what put all of this into motion. I'm not saying they orchestrated it. I'm just saying that one of the, there's a cause and effect in a lot of things, and I believe here the cause was that big rights deal, the biggest one ever in the history of college athletics, and the effect is what you're seeing now with these alignments.
Ray Cole is our guest here in the studio, and we had Mr. Movie in today, so I want to get to it at Iowa State here specifically with Ray, because you have some insight on some of these options, and there are more options than this, and we don't know what's going to happen, but it seems just in unscientific polling that the thing that maybe most of the fans would like is what seems like it would be a convenient and logical move to the Big Ten, though some point out, if the SEC adds Texas and Oklahoma, can the Big Ten counter with Iowa State and Kansas, especially considering Kansas's football recent history? You could have some kind of merger between the what's left of the remaining eight and the Pac-12. That's been brought up a lot. You could try to add some teams like Cincinnati's, UCF's, Tulane's of the world and maybe get back to 10 or 12. But again, is there enough eyeballs draw on that to make the rights fees worth more than they were when you just explained that the red flag that came up at the beginning of all this? You have the American Athletic Conference, which wants these remaining teams, but you're going to have a significant change in the payout structure there in the future of Iowa State athletics. So of those, what should Iowa State hope? And how do you see this playing out? What are we in for here in the immediate future?
Well, to the extent that ESPN was perhaps the key driver in what's taking place with Texas, Oklahoma, and SEC conference, I think that Fox may be the key driver of what takes place in the wake of that. Fox, obviously, as I pointed out earlier, as the main stakeholder in the Big Ten Network, will have, I think, a great deal of influence on any expansion that they do. It's peculiar to me the extent to which television households have been, in large measure, the driver of these realignments. Mm-hmm. There's no question that's, adding Washington, D.C. Is what got Maryland admitted, and adding Rutgers, and adding the New York market, New Jersey market. I don't think they've added anything to the conference. Maybe women's basketball with Maryland and Rutgers are both good programs. But in terms of the football and even men's basketball program, it's been marginal. So we'll see if that continues. Because if it does, then it's hard to see how Iowa State adds to the Big Ten conference on a key driver of their expansion. In the case of Kansas, you're adding the Kansas City market and to a certain extent, that even carries over to the St. Louis market. So you're adding major markets.
And significant basketball prestige, although we know that football is the driver of this.
Yeah. And it's interesting because there's never been a greater time. Iowa State football as a program has never been on the precipice of greater accolades and accomplishments than they are today. And it's just unfortunate. I said to someone the other day, you know, last year, Gene Meyer is a big mm-hmm. Iowa State fan. I said this to him. I said, for Iowa State to go through last season, as special as it was, without fans in full bloom, mm-hmm. okay, throughout Jack Trice, was one thing. But to go into this year with another a darker cloud of a different nature is unfortunate. But again, I would put a lot of stock and a lot of faith in Jamie Pollard to help navigate this.
He helped keep the Big 12 together last time.
He did. And again, to circle back, Fox's influence may not just be with the Big 10 network. It could also be with what you alluded to, Keith, which is some possible combination of Pac-12 and Big 10, excuse me, Big 12.
Because the Pac-12 has kind of been the fifth of the five conferences in football.
So if you could align them into a 16-team super conference in the way that the SEC is now aligned, I don't see a 32-team super conference that some people have been, pointing to. I don't see that. I think the more there's a much greater likelihood of another 16-team super conference being formed, and then it'll be interesting to see what the Big Ten, if the Pac-12 and Big 12 get together and form some sort of union, and then they are in a position to sort of match up, not exactly on even terms, but sort of match up with the SEC. Then it's going to be really interesting. What does the Big Ten do then? You know, it was rumored years ago that they were looking at Duke and they were looking at North Carolina and they were looking at Boston College. You could see them sort of maybe carve out some arrangement with essentially the ACC that would create another 16-team super conference. But at the end of the day,
we're a seatbelt.
We're a seatbelt, and against this is all against the backdrop of the seismic changes going on in television generally, not just sports television. You know, I will point this out though. I brought this with me. I have a good friend who senior program executive at ESPN, and he was involved in this year alone. He was the architect of that 10-year deal with the SEC. In March, he was at the helm of the NHL deal, 7 years. That was followed a week later by the NFL deal, a new 10-year deal beginning in 2023. And then they announced in May a new 7-year deal beginning in 2022 with Major League Baseball. Every one of those deals still relies heavily on traditional over-the-air linear television. Mm-hmm. They all have, importantly, digital platforms, and you're seeing it with the Olympics right now. You're seeing the Olympics right now. Everybody's focused on how the numbers are down from past Olympics. And I think there's a lot of reasons for that.
Right.
But there's no getting around. The broadcast audiences are down. What seldom gets the equal play is how the streaming audiences on the Peacock network, which is probably more important to Comcast NBC Universal than NBC is, very candidly, long term. Mm-hmm. Just like in the Disney ecosystem, look at how they're pushing Disney Plus and ESPN Plus mm-hmm. And Hulu. Those streaming platforms and taking on Netflixes of the world is where it's going. And so I sort of try to balance that because, as I pointed out, all of the new major rights deals in the professional sports world all still, for the next 5 to 7 years at least, are pointing to the traditional television platforms that you and I have been involved with for our careers, remaining viable and remaining vital to the distribution of the product for each of those leagues. And I would submit for colleges for each of their conference footprints as well.
Final thing here for Ray Cole, who has tremendous insight into this. Ray, how long do you think it is until we have an idea when the music stops again, at least for a while?
Well, I don't think they're as anxious as fans and maybe even some athletic directors are. I don't think there's a burning sense of urgency among the networks that would be involved in creating the deals that would support whatever realignments happen. So I would say maybe between now and fall.
Oh, okay. I would like that. And I just don't want it to drag on for years. There's just so many people's lives kind of and fandom just hang in the balance. But you know as well as I do, each of these schools is full of people. Like, I know many people at Iowa State that are really concerned about what the future holds, and I know you do too. And for the fan, this is a big part of many people's escapism of life. They just want to know that it's going to be okay, you have to have faith in the leadership, but we're not going to know for sure here for a while what happens.
Well, to the extent that past is prologue, if we learned anything from the last round of conference realignments, there's a little bit of there's that element of this too shall pass, and I hope that things settle down and work there, and we work through it much like we did last time in ways that really were for the most part, provided a lot of stability. And I'll leave you with this one last thing. It was interesting to me. You know, Bob Boolsby, they held their meetings, Big 12 meetings, the week before this all broke. So it would have been 2 weeks ago. With the reporters afterwards, he thanked the reporters for not asking about the conference realignment at their media days in Arlington. It wasn't on anybody's radar. So just as quickly as this all surfaced over the last 2 weeks, I think it could play out and resolve itself in the next 2 months. I would probably, to answer your question, I'd say between now and Labor Day.
Oh, that would be great. Ray, thank you so much for stopping by on a 114-degree day.
You called me today. It's my birthday. I thought you were calling.
This is your birthday?
I thought you were calling to take me to lunch, and it was to come on your show, which is not a bad present by itself.
Well, happy birthday.
Thank you.
You're the winner of Guess Whose Birthday, presented by the Cellular Advantage, because you guessed your own birthday. Mr. Movie, when we
deep experience.
Fairway Online Shopping. That's right. Add her coming soon to your local Fairway. You can now shop online for curbside pickup at your local Fairway. Visit shop.fairway.com to send us your order today. We can't wait.
Sales.com.
It's Murph and Andy's Play of the Day. Powered by Prairie Meadows, where you can catch live racing every Friday through Monday.
Oh! Oh! Ohtani! Way up there! 36.
Visit PrairieMeadows.com for information. Live racing only at Prairie Meadows. It's fun you can bet on.
Shohei Ohtani with what sounds like a special effect.
It does.
Of the bat hitting the ball. My goodness. Jumps off the bat. Let's welcome Mr. Movie.
Now Murph and Andy go to the movies with Mr. Movie, Mike Woody. Powered by the team at B&B Small Engines.
Be careful out in those yards today using the P&P small engines. We're up to like 107 on the heat index.
I got both yards mowed this morning before 10 o'clock.
Nice.
Yep.
But you must be feeling better.
I am feeling better.
Good.
Yeah.
Glad to hear that. Mr. Movie, our out-of-the-box topic is right out of the conversation. Well, not straight out of the conversation we just had with Ray Cole, but there's a bitter divorce between Texas, Oklahoma, and the other teams in the Big 12 conference. So our out-of-the-box topic is a movie about divorce. And I did find that, first of all, there's a lot of movies.
Yes, there is.
And I did think of stuff like War of the Roses, but, God, that gets so mean that it even has that great ending shot that it's open to interpretation, whether one of them's moving the hand or...
Right.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Boy, that's a real downer of a movie. So I'm going with one that did make the points about how divorce can be really hard on everybody, but it was also entertaining. It's Robin Williams and Mrs. Doubtfire.
I'm not who you think I am.
Yeah, no sh**.
Watch your mouth, young man.
Dad?
Yeah.
Dad?
Yeah, honey.
You don't really like wearing that stuff, do you, Dad?
Well, some of it's comfortable. No, it's a pain in the padded ass. This is not a way of life, it's just a job. I don't go to old lady bars or anything like that after work, you know? You know, it's the only way I could see you guys every day.
been a while since I've seen this, but I believe his made ex-wife Sally Field, right?
Yes.
Miss Doubtfire?
Yeah.
And then so the whole premise here is this is the only way he can spend as much time with his kids as
right.
he wants.
Yeah, he wants to make sure the kids are taken care of, so he dresses up like a nanny.
Yeah, she needs a nanny. He's not going to get access to the kids. He becomes the nanny.
And he looks like a no-nonsense nanny. He's
right.
He's short enough anyway to just pull this all off.
I mean, just to hear that clip, I mean, the talent that we lost.
Yeah, he's so talented. Also, a guy, I mean, mental health issues are a very big topic
right
now. This is a guy that dealt with that a lot. So what do you have here for divorce movie?
You know, I'm going to go back to a movie that was a long time ago, but I still remember it vividly for a couple of things. One, it shows the guy's side of a divorce. It's Kramer versus Kramer, by the way. So
yep, there
Dustin
you go.
Hoffman, is basically just, sorry, I'm leaving you. And he doesn't have a job. He is distraught. He'll take anything.
He doesn't know his son as well as he thought he did.
Right.
Because, you know, mom had been doing the daily stuff.
If without a job, he's going to lose access to his son. So, I mean, and there's a scene in this movie, and I think it's towards the end where, and I'm not going to, for those of you that haven't seen it, I'm not going to spoil it, but where he's on a playground and he picks his son up and squeezes him and the son makes this noise. I mean, I'm getting choked up thinking about it. It was just, ugh. It's a great movie.
I want my son.
You can't have him.
But don't get defensive. Don't try to bully me.
I'm not getting defensive. Who walked out of the house 15 months ago?
I don't care.
Joe.
I am still his mother.
Yes, from 3,000 miles away, and just because you sent a few postcards, it gives you the right to come back here?
I never stopped wanting him.
What makes you so sure he wants you?
What makes you so sure he doesn't want me?
It's a fantastic movie. It's Academy Award winner for Best Picture.
Best Picture, yeah.
Meryl Streep is great. Dustin Hoffman's great. And the kid is the youngest Academy Award nominee ever.
Justin Henry.
He's a little punk to begin with.
Yeah.
He's going to test dad at every turn.
But it's interesting because it's all about dad, and Meryl Streep's character is pure evil. And then at the end, it kind of swings.
Yep.
And it's like, you know, it's a great movie. If you haven't seen it, it's really good.
This showed me early in life, too, because this was a bad choice. But my friend John and I went on a double date to Kramer versus Kramer. And at the end, like, we got in the car, we're having the discussion, and the two girls we had gone with were both rooting for the mom to get the kid back. And we're like, what?
What?
What are you talking? What are you talking about? She walked out on them, and like, so we got this, like, this little gender spat in the car. We could not believe that they thought the mom should get the boy back. We're like, the dad should get the boy. There you go, Kramer versus Kramer. What do you have, AD?
Well, I had a similar double date experience to yours. A buddy of mine and our girlfriends went and saw Stepmom back in like the 90s.
Oh, tearjerker!
That's the thing. It was a tearjerker. They were just bawling. The two girls were just bawling the whole way home.
Julia Roberts,
another
Susan Sarandon
movie. Yeah. Right. And I thought about Marriage Story from a couple years ago. That's a really good movie, even though it's not a lot of fun to watch.
My wife
would say First Wives Club for sure. But I went with fun like you did, Murph. Crazy Stupid Love. It's a good romantic comedy. It's got a great cast. Emma Stone, Ryan Gosling are great. Kevin Bacon, Marissa Tomei. But it's Steve Carell and Julianne Moore are the couple that is getting a divorce. And this scene is from Steve Carell. He's been kind of depressed at work, and they now find out why.
Who told you that Emily and I are getting divorced?
Amy heard you crying in the bathroom. We all thought it was cancer.
Oh.
Thank God, man.
Yeah, just my relationship.
Thank God.
Oh.
Divorce.
I'm so lucky.
You are.
I have to go pick out furniture now.
Okay. You go for it. It could have been cancer, buddy.
Hey, everyone. It's just a divorce.
All right, buddy. Thanks. Feels good.
And it has a happy ending, too. So it's a really good movie. I like it a lot.
It's a great movie.
It's kind of could be his character a few years later from 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Yeah, right, exactly. You know,
or a little bit of Michael Scott in there, too. That's a good choice. Movies and series. Mr. Movie, there's a Matt Damon movie that I thought showed a lot of promise called Stillwater, and you've already seen it because of your special Mr. Movie privileges. So how is it?
Special Mr. Movie privileges. You know what? I had high expectations.
Oh no!
I mean, if you see that, and I'm not saying it's bad. Don't jump off the bridge.
Yeah, I had like Born Identity level type of expectations.
No. Well, then you better knock that down.
All right.
I don't know. You see the trailer, and you see that. Oh, at Cannes Film Festival, there was a 5-minute standing ovation.
That's what got my hopes up. Standing ovation.
They were happy it was over. Holy cow, man. This thing is long and slow.
You know, 5-minute standing ovation was because it was over? That's not true.
They had to usher me out of the theater. There was only three of us. I don't know. I wanted it to be so good. I mean, it's very close to the Amanda Knox story.
Yep, it's based on that.
Yeah, where the girl... Where the girl is accused of killing her roommate, and she said, "I didn't do it."
Foreign country.
She goes to prison. You know, it's very, very similar to that. Abigail Breslin plays the girl, and we know how talented she is. So,
and Matt Damon plays her dad.
Plays her dad, who's just a country bumpkin from Oklahoma, and he ends up moving to France so he can see her, and then he gets involved with this very pretty French woman, and. And it just goes on and on as he's like stalking the streets of Paris. Like he's going to, or Marseille, I guess it is. Like he's going to run into this guy. So when he does run into the guy, it's like, really? Come on.
It feels long or it is long? Is this like a 2.5 or 3-hour movie?
It's 2.5, 2:15, something like that.
All right. So what is the grade for Stillwater?
It's a B-. And I'm not saying don't go see it. Know that it's long and slow.
Okay, old?
Old is the M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Oh, boy.
Where you got a bunch of people who come to this exclusive resort, and they're ushered off to this exclusive beach.
This looks weird.
Where they can't get out, and they just age. And they age quickly.
I know how they feel.
yeah, so do I. But you know what? It wasn't horrible. It's a C-. It gets worse today than this. So
okay, Snake Eyes is worse.
Oh, I have no idea why this movie was made. I have no idea what this movie was about. It is just nonstop special effects and horribly done special effects.
This isn't the G.I. Joe movie.
Yeah.
Is this the G.I. Joe movie?
Yeah, they're basically trying to jumpstart the whole G.I. Joe franchise, and I don't think that's going to happen.
What grade do you give Snake Eyes?
This is a good solid D.
You watched the first episode of my beloved Ted Lasso. I watched
it. And I give you credit. You know, you were hounding me for months to watch this. And now Sue and I are like, come on, Friday, there'll be a new episode.
Yeah. Oh, I know. And we should note, before you tell me what you thought, the first episode of any season is kind of setting up what's to come.
Yeah.
So you know it's going to, right. Yeah. And
if you look at the first episode of the last season, you know.
It's the least enjoyable of the of the 10.
But this is, in my opinion, not a great episode. Mm-hmm. It's not a bad episode at all. But it's just, you were, if you watched the last show from last year.
I just rewatched it. I was ready. Yeah, I was, relative to my expectations, this was a little bit of a letdown for me, but I'm feeling like it's going to come back strong.
But I don't think that's the show. I think it's your and my expectations.
Yeah, I think
But there's some classic lines in it.
Yep.
You know, the two things I don't hit is the snooze button and what else?
I forget what the other button was. But Diane Sawyer's already answered.
I saw that.
She said she'll go on a date with
Ted Lasso. She says, I'm in.
So what grade do you give the first episode?
You know, I'm gonna give it a B-. It's a B-, in that range.
That's a little bit harsh, B-. Goodness, your expectations
were
A+.
Oh, my God, in high school, I would have been dancing in the hallway.
Opening Friday, Jungle Cruise. Stillwater, we already mentioned, and The Green Knight.
Now, The Green Knight is Dev Patel, and it's based, it's kind of one of those medieval things based on some old poem. But Dev Patel has the ability to take material like this and make it entertaining.
He's been good. Jungle Cruise, is this based on the ride I used to go to Disney World?
Uh-huh. This looks good. The Rock.
The Rock and what?
Emily Blunt.
Yeah, that's.
So we know you're going.
I'll be there opening night.
AD saw the new Space Jam, and he would like a few words with
you. Yeah, I loved it. It was great. So much better than the first one. Really enjoyed the callbacks to all the other Warner properties. That was one of my favorite parts of the movie.
The 4,000 callbacks?
Yeah. Okay. And all the people are like, I just sat there looking at the people on the sidelines trying to identify, you know, oh, there's the clown from It, and there's the Ghostbusters. And
that had what to do with the story?
Oh, I wasn't there for the story. It was an enjoyable movie, and my son freaking loved it, and now he loves LeBron James, and so I'm all in. But honestly, much better than the original Space Jam, and if your kids want to see this movie, take them to it. It's fun. You'll have fun.
My kids are 30 and 28. They don't want to see it.
If your grandkids want
to see it. Yeah, you're the only person that has said this that I've heard.
Do you think it's much weaker than the original Space Jam?
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen the original Space Jam?
Have I seen it?
I mean, Michael Jordan's an
You were in high school actor. When I saw it.
Michael Jordan's an awful actor.
Well, and I will grant you that LeBron is a much better actor than Michael Jordan. But when he comes out and scores 1,000 points in the first half, really?
The Goon Squad scores 1,000 points.
I'm going to put a quickie poll out here and find out which of you is right. Thank you, Mr. Moody.
All right, guys.
We'll be back with the AD Squared as a new... it's a new way for a player introduction with no complaints. Wrapping up the Murph and Andy Show, our thanks to Mr. Movie for stopping by. Right now it is time for the Andrew Downs audio drop of the day. It's the AD Squared.
It's powered by Fiscus Jewelers up in Ankeny, locally owned. Check out Noel and his squad. Fiscus Jewelers in Ankeny, the Savannah Bananas. Murph, we talked about them a couple of times here on the show.
Love the bananas.
They make baseball fun. They've sold out every game since 2016, and it's because they try things that other people aren't willing to try or won't try. And one of those things this past week was allowing one of their players to introduce himself as he walked up to the play. So you can find this video, but just imagine as you hear this. This is a guy in full uniform with a bat and a helmet and everything walking from the dugout to a plate with a microphone hyping himself.
Ladies and gentlemen, get your hands together.
And then he literally throws the microphone back to the dugout and takes a walk.
But these guys are on to something.
They really are.
These promotions and things they do look like a blast.
It's unorthodox.
Yeah.
I'm sure some people
don't
love it.
It looks like a fun night at the ballpark.
Again, they've sold out every game for 5 years.
That speaks for itself. Quickie poll results from WCI Pools and Spas. After 24-plus hours to process, your general feeling regarding Simone Biles withdrawing from team competition is... I respect her choice, 73%. Should have toughed it out, 27%.
Okay. Yeah, that's about...
Probably about what I would have guessed. Of our choices, which is her favorite movie about divorce? Light subject. Mrs. Doubtfire, not surprisingly, running away with this was 69%. Kramer versus Kramer, 16%. And Crazy Stupid Love, 15%. All three of those are good movies. One is really heavy. The other two are not. Which Space Jam is better? Coming in here at the
final go. Give it to me.
All right. 90% say...
The original, I bet.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. It just changed to 89% as I was looking at it.
It's like we got a tweet from Adam who said, I haven't watched the new one, but I don't need to know the original is better. Well, yeah, you kind of do. You kind of need to watch it.
New Legacy gets 11%. Thank you for being with us today. We're back tomorrow. We hope you are as well. Stick around now for the Sports Fanatics.